So I want you to look again this morning at verse 12 of this text, where you'll notice the Bible tells us to give thanks to the Father for one singular, glorious, eternal act. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who, again, capital H, the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the power of darkness. The power of darkness. You know, ever since Thursday night's deadly attacks against Dallas police officers and earlier, the shooting of two men in Louisiana and Minnesota, pundits and experts, politicians, have all been sort of weighing in on what's going wrong in the world, what's going wrong in our country. And of course, it's the same talk that you hear and you heard when there's death and murder in Orlando and Paris and Sandy Hook or California or Charleston. Those people in Charleston and that AME church were simply praying when nine of them lost their lives to that horrific violence. And of course, when police officers and prayer meetings and elementary schools are places of death and murder, everybody knows that something's wrong, terribly wrong. And yes, everybody has an opinion. The problem, of course, is that while everyone, it seems, has an opinion, hardly anyone has the answer or the solution. In fact, if you listen carefully to all of the failed sociologists and politicians and activists, you'll realize that most people don't even really grasp the problem. And yes, the bad news, the very bad news, is this. The good news, however, is that not only does God address and identify and answer this entire problem, but for millions and millions of people all over the world, He has also solved that problem, both now and forever. The power of darkness, ladies and gentlemen, is real. It is dark. It is powerful. But what it is not is invincible to the work of God, so that all of us can embrace this glorious command, giving thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Father, please help us this morning to think, to heed, to hear all that you have said in your word in this glorious text about the power of darkness and its ultimate defeat. And I pray, God, that in listening and hearing, our thinking and our lives will be changed from glory to glory. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things this morning that I want us to consider in Paul's opening comments to the church at Colossae. Colossae was already an ancient city in Paul's day, going all the way back to the time of Xerxes and Queen Esther. Located about 100 miles from Ephesus in present-day Turkey, Colossae was a Gentile city that had a Jewish population of about 20,000. And just like modern Turkey, Colossae was known for its earthquakes and its changing nature amidst conflict and depravity. You see, Colossae has not even existed as a city for over 1,700 years. It may have been old in Paul's day, but it would not last forever. That's one of the reasons why Paul's greeting to them has always been a blessing to me. He says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. I've always loved that statement. I've preached on it. In Christ, but at Colossae. Colossae doesn't exist. That's no problem. Christians were only at Colossae. But we will be in Christ forever and forever. Which brings us then to those three critical truths in these last days with the power of darkness. Beginning, you'll notice, with the first and most important truth of all, which is number one, the reality of darkness. Look again at Paul's language, and I want you to notice especially the word power. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or again, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, you say, Pastor, why? What's so significant about the word power? What if he had simply said, who hath delivered us from darkness? Well, it's very simple in this way. The word power is a reminder that darkness in this world is real. It is effective, it is influential, it is dangerous, it is harmful, and it is consequential. It's not just darkness, beloved. It is the power of darkness in this world. So that the Holy Spirit is not speaking just poetry or something esoterical or unsubstantial. He is talking here what he knows and what he knows as reality. And the reason that it's so important today to understand that it's powerful is that policymakers in this world, the educators and the financiers and the intelligentsia, and in fact, almost all media and politicians, they don't really believe in evil. I mean, of course, they don't believe in a literal devil or Satan. That's just downright silly to them. But they go even further to deny that it's impossible for any kind of spiritual darkness to have a power over mankind. And that's why our leaders today cannot grapple with the acts of evil from groups like ISIS or Boko Haram. To them, it's not the power of darkness, it's climate change, or the imperial West, or lack of opportunity and jobs and lack of education. It is anything and everything except the evil and the darkness that it really is. Unfortunately, of course, for these elite, is that the facts, every single time, the facts never fit their narrative. The 9/11 hijackers, all of them came from people of means. Most of them were engineers and highly educated. Osama bin Laden himself was from a billionaire family, and he grew up extremely wealthy and graduated university. The Columbine, the Sandy Hook killers were all upper middle class liberal families with plenty of opportunity in this country. The Dallas shooter, he wasn't oppressed. He wasn't poor. Neither was the white supremacist in Charleston in June of 2015. The Orlando shooter had more privilege and opportunity than 99.9% of the entire population of Earth. And in fact, you look any time in history. The Nazis and Imperial Japan, educated, refined, artistic, even scientific. That Fort Hood assassin, San Bernardino, you realize they were not poor. They weren't oppressed, folks. One was a major in the Army and a psychiatrist. The others were both university graduates and environmental health specialists. In fact, did you know that every single one of the Dhaka killers in Bangladesh last week were from wealthy families and highly educated, and not one of them was from a madrasa? You see, beloved, it's a lie, it's always been a lie, that acts of evil are not caused by evil. They are. Darkness is real. It is powerful. It is determinative. It is persuasive. And you know, whether it's the Nazis or ISIS, whether it's Stalin or Mao, whether it's a skinhead or a Black Panther or a bad cop or a cop killer, whether it's Jim Jones or David Koresh, whether it's an Islamist in Orlando or Hermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, the one thing that is the exact same about every single one of them is same power of darkness. Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. Now, wait a minute. He was talking to the religious elite, pastor, not murderers. True. But they murdered him, didn't they? You see, when Jesus said, "Your father, the murderer from the beginning," to the Pharisees, he was saying, you may be a different group, same exact power of darkness. We said, number one, there is the reality of darkness. The second thing I want you to notice, number two, there is the rescue from darkness. By the way, it's not rescue just because it's alliterated, though that helps. No, the word delivered in this text literally means rescued in the Greek. Look at verse 13. Who, God, hath delivered, rescued us from the power of darkness. Now, folks, I want you to hear this very carefully. Because inasmuch as the Bible infallibly identifies the real problem, it also reveals the only solution. And that solution is a deliverance. It's a rescue. It's salvation. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. How did he do that, Pastor? Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Verse 21, and you that were sometime, literally at one time,
alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, delivered from the power of darkness.
I was watching the news Friday night, and of course the experts and pundits were saying the usual stuff about guns and community, arguing over justice.
Guest after guest, same thing, same old stuff, until finally they get to the last guest on the show with only a few seconds left. And she said to her guest, "I apologize that we went long in that segment, but in closing, what are your thoughts about last week?" That guest was Benjamin Watson. He was a tight end. He is now tied in for the Baltimore Ravens, but he had a fantastic Christian testimony for the Saints for many years.
And I knew that. In fact, I was waiting just to hear him. He only has a few seconds, so I'm kind of excited to hear what he's going to say with so little time. And he said this. He said, "I do think that it's hard for people to realize what goes through our minds when we see what we see, such as what happened in Minnesota." And by the way, can I just say, I agree with that. You know, when we lived in Turkey for 3 years, we were suddenly the minority, and it affects you. I mean, I heard chants for 3 years, even billboards and signs that said, "Yankee, go home," and other kids constantly pointing and laughing. Being any kind of a minority presents a certain challenge. However, as soon as Benjamin Watson said that, he said this, "But that's not the issue." He said, "The issue is man, and his only hope is the Father in heaven and the blood of his Son." Oh, the newsroom went quiet. Crickets. Awkward. And with a couple seconds left, nobody talking, he spoke again, and he simply said, "Amen." He amened himself, except I amened him at home, amen. I said, "Amen and amen." That was the end of that segment. Inasmuch as it is true that the one common thread to all of those acts of evil that we noted is the power of darkness, let us understand that it is also true that they all have another thing in common, another common thread that is undeniable. And that is this: whether it is the terrorist Islamist or the white supremacist or the Dallas racist or the Nazi or the Stalinist or the Maoist or the atheist up there in Sandy Hook, whether it is the shooter in Orlando or Paris or Bangladesh, the one thing that they all, everyone, has in common is that none of them were born again disciples of Jesus Christ. None of them were reconciled to God by the blood of his Son. You say, "But Pastor, they were religious, but they were extremist." I know. An extremist Muslim kills people. An extremist Christian, by the way, I've met a few, extremist believers visit more of the fatherless and widows in their affliction. They love their neighbors even more than they love themselves. You see, a radical Christian simply becomes more like Christ. And the reason for that is they've been delivered from the power of darkness. Look again at verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I love that powerful reality and that little expression, "saints in light." Ladies and gentlemen, saints are not in darkness. They are in light. This past Friday, in the news, you may have read it, 4 preachers in England, Bristol, England, were arrested, put in jail for, quote, anti-Muslim comments. Michael Overd, Don Carnes, Adrian Clark, and Mike Stockwell, all of them charged when they said that Allah was not the true God. Now, when I read that, first thing I thought was, boy, has England forgotten what Churchill and C.S. Lewis wrote about Muhammad and Islam? These guys are mild compared to what they said. But in the article, I noticed that there were comments and a lot of people were baffled. Why is the country responsible for the Magna Carta and Spurgeon and the King James Version and Hudson Taylor and David Livingston? Why is that same nation putting people in jail for speaking the same truth they spoke for hundreds of years? Darkened. Blindness is baffling.
And what Paul is saying is that we were all in darkness. Don't get high on your horse now. We were all in darkness. We were all blind. And as verse 21 says, alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, but he rescued us. And God's people said amen to that. Yet now hath he reconciled them through the blood of his cross. Remember, folks, the one who wrote this epistle was a terrorist. The one who wrote this epistle went from arresting and killing Christians himself to being the one who was arrested and beaten and stoned by mobs in darkness. He went from being a persecutor to being one of the humblest, gentlest, kindest men on planet Earth. It is no wonder that he gave thanks to the Father. I was telling our young people in Sunday school last week, what a positive faith we have. And by way of illustration, I said, young people, look at our hymnal. Just take a moment and look at our songbook. Because it is filled with scores and scores of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And yet, not one of them is hateful or dark or depressing or deceitful or oppressive to women, or full of obscenities. Now, hip-hop music is. It glorifies violence and pride and abuse of women. The blues, depressing country music. Lots of depressing songs. I'm just a bug on the windshield of life. Right? I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. Don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me. I've heard that one. But really, Billy broke my heart at Walmart and I cried all the way to Sears. I mean, that's the kind of music. You know, Mel Tillis used to live out by Indiantown where we lived, and he wrote a song called "How Come Your Dog Don't Bite Nobody But Me?" And you know what? You can sit down and write that stuff. That's depressing. But in addition to that, take all the world's music, dark and violent, self-gratifying, empty music in the world of darkness. And the reason for that, in part, is that it resonates. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Not a single one like that in here. How is that? Delivered from the power of darkness. We said, number one, there is the reality of darkness. Number two, there is the rescue of darkness. And that's the only hope for the world. Social programs, more money to wealthy people who already strapped bombs on themselves. None of this works. Number three, I want you to notice, thirdly, the ruin of darkness. Verse 13 again, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And he didn't stop there. God did not stop there with you. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I remember a Sunday school lesson years ago called the hath triplets. You see verse 12, hath made us. Verse 13, hath delivered us and hath translated us. In other words, not only has God delivered us from the power of darkness, but also he has translated us, folks. He has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And guess what? That kingdom, which has a king, is destined for triumph. The kingdom of light will ruin forever the power of darkness. Chapter 3, I want you to look at this verse, verse 4. It says, when Christ, Paul, talking to the same group about the power of darkness in context, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hey, you know what that is, folks, right there? That is a promise. And every single day, all over the world, in every tongue and tribe and kindred of the world, when someone is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Christ, we are reminded that God is keeping his promise. He is bringing many sons to glory. He said, but Pastor, the power of darkness is growing. It's just getting darker and spiritually darker in the universe, is it?
Can I just remind you that when someone dies in darkness, the army of darkness gets smaller?
Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler are not coming back, folks. Ever. But Moses and Elijah, they were right there on the Mount of Transfiguration, shining with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The kingdom of light, of the increase of his kingdom, there's no end. It's only getting bigger. Look, there's a couple hundred folks from right here, used to be in our congregation alone. We miss them. They're not gone, folks. They're waiting. And God is preparing.
Paul and Timothy and Epaphras and all those names that are listed in chapter 4, they're not at Colossae anymore. In fact, Colossae isn't even at Colossae. But all of them are still in Christ. And all of them will appear with Christ in glory. Pastor, the world's a mess. Racism and sectarianism and violence and hatred, what's the answer to the power of darkness? Read these verses with me, would you? Just look at them as I read them out loud. Verse 9, chapter 3 again. Chapter 3, verse 9, lie not one to another. Interesting that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, mentions this most common, every man's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. And it begins with that. You have the power in Christ to not even have to lie. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You've been delivered, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. You know what that is, folks? That is light. Hath made us, hath delivered us, hath translated us, and yes, all over this room and in hundreds of thousands of assemblies all over the world, there is testimony and evidence and living epistles that God is true and that he alone knows the problem and also the solution to the power of darkness. I noticed in the news last month that a group of gangsters and some college kids in California, they took some paint and they wrote all kinds of foolish and vile things on a war memorial honoring the dead. It was a Vietnam War memorial. And they did it the week of Memorial Day, no less. They did so much damage, they said, and it's so extensive it's beyond repair. They destroyed it. I saw that, and I remembered something that I'd read many years ago about a prominent evolutionist just after World War I. He said that mankind is gradually and surely improving in every way, just as evolution teaches. The first humans, he said, lived in caves and scribbled on walls, and now they write enlightened documents like the covenant at the League of Nations that had just been passed. Of course, that was before World War II. And 80 million deaths. And as the graffiti in Venice, California shows, depraved man, he's still scribbling on the walls. And he's still living in caves and worse. Evolution, ladies and gentlemen, has no answer because it won't even and can't even identify the problem. The answer, as always, is being delivered from the power of darkness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for which we give thanks to the Father and serve him unto the appearing of his Son. To the Christians in this room, I say this. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The hope for every lost sinner is being delivered from the power of darkness through the power of the gospel. For those in this room who have not been delivered, no amount of education, no amount of refinement, no amount of religion for sure. These were Pharisees to whom Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." No amount of religion and good works can ever deliver you from the power of darkness. God does that. And God does that through the power of the shed blood of His own Son. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed for just a moment with no one moving. It is always distressing to see the kinds of things we've seen this past week. It's heartbreaking. But for every child of God, it's simply a reminder that God's Word that promises, predicts, prophesies that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That the love of many shall wax cold. None of this has taken God by surprise. The world, yes. Educators, for sure. Politicians and pundits, always. But not the children of light. The answer, the problem is sin and evil. The answer and the solution is salvation and deliverance through Jesus Christ. Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today and I am saved, but I needed this reminder, this message. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Matter of fact, the admonition for Christians in the text is being thankful. When you see people that are in the grasp of the power of darkness, Paul says, be thankful to the Father that He's delivered you from it. I can guarantee you Paul was. Christians are to live a life of gratitude. Father, bless the invitation, Lord. We commit this time into Your hands. As always, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that in Your Word we are reminded over and over again of truth, undeniable, eternal, irrefutable truth. Thank You, dear God, for showing us that You know and have told us the problem and the solution and the glorious ruin of darkness. I pray, Father, we will follow Your will and trust it, being thankful to You for so great salvation in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.